I don't know what to do with a meeting like this. Now, you know, it's customary that we do thus and so, but my Lord. I've got an old preacher boy. Well, I just have them spells. Bad as the Dallas Cowboys. Yes.
Come on. You think if you don't raise your little bony hand and have anything to do with it, forget it.
Woo! Pack 70,000-80,000 people in a stadium. Yes. Hoop and holler till they have the laryngitis. Why, they do it. Yes. I wouldn't give the snap of my finger for a football team or a baseball team or a basketball team. It wouldn't do it. And I wouldn't give the snap of my finger to go see them do it. Only thing I'm going by is that right there. I ain't worried about where you shake your hair piece out, shake your rat out, or run till you fall. I ain't worried about it. Going to that right time. Oh, that man would. What did he say? Said it 15 times in one chapter. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Why, George, I've come to church sick as a horse. How sick does a horse get? I've heard that all my life. But anyhow, if you've ever seen a real sick horse, I've come as sick as a horse. A sick horse. And you know what? I've kicked my way out of many a sick spell right in the pulpit. That's the truth. Kick my way out of it, brother, brother. Kick my way out of it. There's my old friend. There he is sitting right there. Well, I like to tell that. The devil don't like that. I know he don't like it. He thinks Ann Landers all the one knows anything about what to do. But why don't you save your $30 an hour, your $40 an hour, your $50 an hour? Go to your local pastor. Talk to him. You'd be surprised how much he knows about what you ought to be doing. And why? Amen. Now, God bless you. Write me a letter. Right. Oh, you write her one. I'll tell you something about it. Hallelujah. Go run some fellow down. He never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost in his life. Ain't never been married. Ain't never pastored church. Don't know anything about church problems. Get him to tell you what to do about your pastor, your husband, your wife, your children. Go to the man of God. Right. Yes. I don't know. What's get? Well, let George run on with this. I'm afraid maybe you're going to run backwards on me. Be two or three nights getting you back where I'm at.
Come on, brother.
A few years ago, I met that old boy over there at a camp meeting. I didn't know him. He's come down now. The Lord revealed to him he's going to have a bad spell. And I said to him, brother, you're going down. You're going down. I see you're going down. But I hear you're calling on God. And God's going to help you. You got your grandbaby with you tonight, that little bouncing boy, 3 months old. He ain't here. Why ain't he here? Ought to be at the meeting. But I looked at him today, and the Lord dealt with me about his child, his grandchild. And he'll live the same. Live the same. That's all I could hear is he'll live the same. You know, you went down, brother. Down you went in the hospital, that bad heart attack. And up you come. Asked where you was at last night, and they said you was working. I never did shout because the fellas were working. I thought they ought to go to church if they could, but when I heard he was working, I felt like shouting. I'm like the colored mother said down home, why should you be sick when others is being healed, and why should you die before your time? I called today into Oklahoma to talk with a sick preacher. And he said, Brother Moore, you know, the old boy in my church is here about 5 months ago, and he had that bad, bad, bad back. And anybody here got a bad back, y'all listen.
Listen.
He is walking on crutches, and so bad he had to quit his job. A hard-working man. I mean, a man would rather have a job as a welfare check, and don't take offense at me. People deserve welfare checks. It deserves them. But any good man rather have a job as to have that. That's right. Ain't that right? I know folks ain't able. I know that. I understand. But he wanted his job back. And you know, I was in the meeting one night and I had a vision. That strange thing about me, I have the funniest spells. Well, I have spells as strange as a tadpole shedding his tail and making a frog. I have spells as strange as a brown lizard running out on the green grass and turning green. And running back and turning brown. I have spells as strange as a lightning bug that turns his light on and off when he gets ready. Yes. We had, God had blinkers built into bugs before we learned to put them on General Motors products and Ford products. Yeah. Yeah. Long before we learned anything about how to harness electricity, he had eels flashing it out through the water and stunning little stuff and eating it before it could regain itself, you know. I seen one of them light up 6 bulbs down Fort Worth, Texas. An eel lit up 6 light bulbs.
6 light bulbs.
Just reached down there and touched them at 2 different things and 6 of them light up. Ooh, I have spells as strange as that.
Yes.
And you know, I looked around at that old boy in the church and I seen him walking without the crutch. Well, that's all I know. I saw what I saw, George. I can't help you don't see it. I'll kill a deer you don't see it. You'll think it's a stump or a tree all the time I'm shooting at it too. And you will me. We do see things other folks don't see sometimes. Don't we do it? I saw him walking. I said, brother, I see you walking without that crutch. Oh, he said, sure enough, yeah, I do. And you know today, Brother Jeff Utter said, Brother Moore, you know that man you told that? Weeks and weeks went by, and I went back by, and you know what? He's still on the crutch. If you ain't careful, the Lord help you and tell you something, you won't believe it.
Right.
Huh? I didn't pay no attention to that. I know what I saw. Today he said, Brother Moore, you know that fella sold that crutch away. Said he made a 3,900-mile round trip to a place and back driving. You got a pretty good back if you can make 3,900 miles of it and come out without a crutch. Well, the Lord is not dead. He knows his business, and he's running it. He knows what to do with it. Amen. He'll make a man run like a deer, outrun a team of horses. Greatest preacher I nearly ever read after could outrun a team of horses. I know the Lord always works in strange ways. He always has. He can't get no glory out of it if he don't.
Glory.
Can't get a bit out of it if he don't. Folks won't give him no glory for it. God ready to pay the taxes, so we run down to Lloyd's and float along with the Bank of England. No, no, no. Go fishing and first fish you catch and have money. I never could figure out how that thing bit the hook and held on to that money at the same time. But he bit the hook, and then when he pulled him out, he had money in his mouth. That'd be a strange way to pay the bill, wouldn't it? You know, the Lord gave me a new car. I hope I may testify tonight. The things that went stranger. I like what, you know what, I like that. I like that music I can understand. And you know why I like George Bluegrass? Because George is serious, and I'd rather hear that as any kind, nearly. Man, serious as that he is. I love that. I come in here today, and these two boys are practicing. Man, I want to talk to you about music, I said. You know, I've sung and played all my life. Never a professional, but I may have been the sight of God, but no one else. But you know what? I come in, I said, boys, I like that. Now, look, I'm not trying to be smart, but I'm honest, and I'm not trying to be a fanatic. I'm just an old fogey, I guess. But anyway, I said to my girl, what are they singing? We come up here and turn the radio on. I said, what are they singing? You know, when I was a boy growing up, he said, give me a copy of that song. I'd like to sing it. You could get a long ways to Tipperary or Strawberry Roan or Steamboat Bill. There's all kind of religions, according to what even some professing religious songs folks be today.
That's right.
And I could learn the tune and pick up the tune and learn the words and sing about it. And now I'll say I'm honest. We have some precious friends down home. They'll get up on Sunday morning and say, now we're turning you into hands of choir, and they're going to sing Selection, Jesus, Help Me Now, If You Will, I Know You Can, right now. And they'll sing that, and you can tell they wrote it last night. And then nobody else will ever sing it, and God bless them with it, but when they're through with it, you can't record it and learn it, because they don't remember what song they sell, and part of it to make up while they do sing. I'm honest! But I'm going to tell you, we got some fellas raking in some big dough off our people, There ain't nobody else can sing that nowhere, because you can't understand it to start with, and the beats are crazy. Ain't nobody can pick it up or down or nothing else.
That's right.
I like that music you can hear and understand. Well, I ain't going to preach against music. You heard two messages in this church on music, and that's good ones. But I'm here because the Lord called me and sent me to go. Give me a car a while back. I may tell experience to you. I've had a lot of them. I don't know why. I started out 18 years old, pastored 9 churches, and been on every kind of board you can think of nearly. Somebody said, give you a heart attack and a nervous breakdown. Do you hear me, Satan? How old are you? You give up to God and put Spizzarica back down there in your head.
Yeah.
They'll deliver you from worrying about everything under the sun, your business and everybody else's. Little old woman in my church said, don't want Brother Moore to have no car payment. Brother Moore's paid car payments all his life. God gave him a car without any payments. So I went to Alabama to preach. Somebody gave me $2,300 on a car. It just went everywhere. Folks sent me money. One little church way back in Virginia sent me $1,000 on a car. I just put it in the cellar where bees hole.
Go ahead, just rub it.
My wife's with me and she hides her money from me. But I know where it's at. I took all that money the Lord sent me and put it in the cellar. And it just kept coming in. You know, somebody has tickled me sometime about the Lord's work. They treat God like the preacher can crook him. You can't crook God. Oh, you may crook to people. I may crook to people. I may turn out to be a bad crook. But I'm going to tell you, when you're dealing straight with God, he can count to the penny. I was tickling some folks I knew that didn't like me as well as they really ought to. Said, that preacher will never tell whether he's got enough money or not. Folks can send him money on a car that gets $25,000 worth, and he'll never peep it. Well, you may run some kind of program is like that, and I think some missionaries are, and some radio preachers, Brother Junior, are, and some TV personalities are. Yes, sir, I believe that. I believe folks that take an offering for the expense of the literature, that which literature is already making 25 to 40% on every book, I don't think that you'll take an offering for the expense of the literature.
Amen.
I think 25 to 40% profit on the book will pay for it without any further ado.
Amen.
Are y'all taping this? This ain't even no message yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to tell y'all when to start taping this here. But do you know what? The Lord kept sending me one. I said to a little bunch of people, sent me some money on. I said, I'll buy a good low mileage used car. No, Brother Moore, God said, buy a new one. Well, I said, if God said, buy a new one, that's what I'll do. And you know, I went to Chickasha, Oklahoma, to Bowman Buick, and ordered me a new car. And would you believe what? After I ordered that, General Motors, for my sake, ordered a $500 rebate on them cars. Just because of me ordering that. They ordered everywhere across America to take 500 more off of it just because I'd placed that order there at Chickasha. And you know what? That fella cut to the bone on that car and gave it to me at fleet discount. And I told him I was going to preach with it. He said, I'm going to help you with it. And you know what? The Lord sent the money in to buy that car. Cost way over $10,000. I put $52,000 on 81 already. Won't have to ask for another. Not you, though. Don't worry. You don't have to pay for it. And you know what? I got down there in the cellar one day and got the money out. And had around $8,000 in the cellar. And took it to the bank. And I went to the first vice president, Richard. I said, have you ever heard of any God giving a man a car? Well, no, Preacher Moore said, I never did hear of it. Well, I said, you're fixing to hear of it. And I told him the story. Well, they said, if you need any help at all on it, let us know. Well, you know 8's not 10, don't you? But you know what? I didn't feel God wanted me to borrow no money. So I went up to Teller Cage and I said, lady, God has given me a car. And I need you to count this money out and give me a cashier's check made out to Bauman Buick here for this money. She said, You know how they can count? Just count till it just blurs your eyes nearly. And I just have to peel it out there. One just wires myself. She said, and God has given you a car. God's given you what? Yes, I said, God's given it to me, and I've saved this year money on it. God is paying for it. Yes, I said, this is God's money here that I've brought you. She said, I can't count it. I said, I'm going to get on away from you so we can count down and count it.
Let her alone.
She got her counted, and I went over to pick my new carp when it come in, and just before I went over, I had to make a flying trip into somewhere on an airplane, and an old boy that owns car yard up in Oklahoma, and another that builds houses, drove me over to the airport, and on the way, one of them handed me a check, said, now, you see, it ain't got nothing wrote out on who it's to, but when you get the new car, you pay the tax on it and buy the tag for it and write our name in on that. I'd run $265 or $70. Right. Lord have mercy. Went to get that car and that dealer said, I've cut this price low, Mr. Moreline. I ain't hardly making no money on your car because I had to pay half of that rebate. The factory made me pay half the rebate and they put that in after you bought it. I said, you tell me the truth? He said, I sure am. The Lord touched me and said, you give him an extra $100. So I'll give you an extra $100 to give that dealer. Give it to him. He said, a deal's a deal, Mr. Moore. You don't have to give us no more. I made a deal. Yeah, but I said, I am. Are you telling me the truth? He said, I am. What are you? He said, I'm a Church of Christ elder. You know, God wants to shine a little light sometime. I gave him an extra $100. You can't hardly burn that car up. You boys have a smoking habit, used to have it myself, but don't have it in my car! Just a little while now, I've talked too long to preach very long, but didn't you enjoy the visitation of the Lord? Now, do you know anything about it? He can't visit you. If you're not careful, you can't get no visit by watching whether somebody else is or not. I'm telling you all the truth. If I'd quit, don't y'all get mad and everybody look good, but if I'd quit shouting on account of the hypocrites, I'd have laid quiet for the last 30 years. Thank God. Yes, sir. Bought that old car. The Lord's blessed that old car. Hear ye and give ear from Jeremiah 13:15 and be not proud. I got this before we ever had this tonight. For the Lord has spoken, He'll cut you down. Just do a little talking, shake the whole world up with it. Talk fish talk. Spake to the fish, and the fish vomited out Jonah on the dry ground. Speaks to the wind. Get down there and be still. Just lays down. Right? Yeah. Talk fish talk. Give glory to the Lord your God before He caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains and while you look for light and He turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if He will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. Mine eyes shall weep sore, run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Just a little while tonight on a simple thought I got on the road. Just a simple, that's all I can think of, simple things. I've been that way all my life. But warnings. And I knew you'd had a lot of them, see. I knew you had had a lot of warnings. And I thought, Lord, what good would it do me to talk to them people, them good people up there in Ohio, that'll be coming to that meeting about warnings? But since we have been such a heedless generation, and we just keep on sticking our fingers onto things we know that'll mash them, with signs everywhere that said, keep hands off. Because we just keep running stop signs, and we warn before we do that there's going to be a police there some morning, and you're going to get it. He's going to be. And sure enough, we got it. I got it myself. Embarrassed me. Asked me what I'd done. I wished he'd just told me how much it was. And asked me what I was doing. But warnings. I just came from a hospital in Oklahoma City. From my wife's sister's side. A year ago, Beulah was holding two jobs. She didn't have time for church. I wish Beulah was here. I won't say anything to hurt Beulah. She wouldn't mind me warning you. But the man of God said, if you won't hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. Somebody needs to be doing that for America right now. Not after a while, right now. Needs to be weeping in secret places for the pride of our country. I've come to Beulah. Beulah came to the hospital a year ago. I'm hurting in my back, she said. They checked her. They said, you have cancer of the lung, liver, and back. Just like that. Her job was gone. Her boyfriend came in the hospital, Beulah's 51. Walked down the hall to visit her. She heard he was coming, and she sent word out and tell him bye-bye from now on. Goodbye from now on. Lester said, I need help. We prayed and God saved her. She's saved right now. She's never complained to me. She's never said, why did God let it happen? The only thing she says, she's skin and bone now. The doctor said maybe she had 3 weeks, 6 weeks at the most. God has given her a year and blessed her. And the people of God had come and put a piece of money in her hand. And she said, why did they do it, Lester? I said, it's God's children. They love you. They don't know me. I said, I know they don't, but they're God's people. He has worked for her, and she's seen him work, and she knows he's working. But you know, Beulah had a husband that just died a while before with cancer. And he died with cancer of the lung, and they said it was caused from smoking. My mind is just on warnings tonight.
Warnings.
The prophet said, hear, give ear, be not proud, saith the Lord. And if you don't listen to me, I'm going to turn your light into darkness. You're going to be able to see where you're going. And if you won't hear it, my soul will weep for you. I'm telling you what's happening, children. What's facts. This man passed away, Mr. Spence did, with cancer of the lung. Beulah watched him dwindle away from walking to a wheelchair and from that to the bed, from the bed to long eternity. She said, I'll never smoke again. I'll never smoke again. That's one thing I'll never do is never smoke again. You know what Beulah was doing when that hurting in her back started? Smoking again. Smoking again. Just warning tonight. I don't know who in the world is here that would need a thought like this. But you know, as I went up to see Beulah, oh yes, she's saved now. But you know what the nurses, some of the nurses are doing that's waiting on Beulah? They go into this certain room here, and when they come out, the smoke fogs out behind them. And you can smell the tobacco on them. And if you will ask them whether they smoke or not, they will say, yes, I do. And they're on the 10th floor of South Community Hospital, which is the cancer ward, and they know very good and well what tobacco has done and will do and is doing to souls up there, and yet they do not heed the warning. Heed the warning. They won't pay no attention to the warning. You know, my wife told a woman, my sister's dying with cancer. And she knew that her sister was not religious. And she knew that B was religious. My wife was a Christian. And she said, and I'll guarantee you she don't even smoke. I said, I beg your pardon. She did smoke. But because wife was a Christian, the woman just guessed that her sister was. And I'll guarantee you she didn't even smoke. Now you can guess whether the woman did smoke or not that said that. Just a little warning. Just a little warning. Oh, I'm not just after tobacco. But I noticed one of wife's other sisters that is bad off and won't go to the doctor because she thinks she's got cancer, smokes and puffs and blows it. I noticed at Richlands that fellow had that hole cut in his neck. Used to like to sit by me at Richlands, but you could talk about tobacco and he'd get uneasy. He won't you talk about tobacco. No, he didn't want you to mention it. But since they have taken his esophagus out, since he cannot talk, and it was caused, the doctor said, from the use of tobacco, he gets on the platform when you preach against it. Different times he's been known to do this, and he'll back you behind you and point at his neck. Warning. God told the prophet, if you warn them, their blood won't be on your hand. If you don't warn them, you're going to get it. You're going to get into it. I notice in John 8:11, I'm not going to preach long because we've had a wonderful meeting here, but I thought I'd leave this door. But somehow or another, I don't know. I looked at the group over and I said, well, who is it in a fine looking bunch of people like this would need to be told anything about warnings? Do you know here in the 8th chapter of book of John in the 11th verse, there's this pitiful, sinful little woman here. The Lord is so merciful. He said to her, he asked her a question. Who's condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Just a little warning here. Just a little warning here. Do you ever take medicine or buy something with instructions on it, and right down there it said, warning. Can be good for you, but it can ruin you if you don't handle it right. Can be a blessing to you, but could be a curse to you if you don't use it right. So tonight, I just had warning on my mind. And if you don't take it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. I notice here, Jesus said to this sinful woman, go and sin no more. You all sang that old song up here. King Jesus was walking through the land. On his way he got weary. With his disciples, a gospel band stopped at the well of Samaria. No man loves me like Jesus. You sing it, don't you? Glory, hallelujah. No man loves me like Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. That tells about the woman. On the well, the Lord sat down. His disciples went and left him. A woman from Samaria town, a drink he did request of her. That was strange to her. Why do you ask a drink of me with an evasive feeling? You know by law the Samaritans and Jews have no dealings. No man loves me like Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. No man loves me like Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Now that little woman was a sinful woman. This little woman's a sinful woman. And Jesus tells sinners, when he gets them straightened out, go and sin no more. Why does he tell them that? From the 5th chapter and the 5th verse of the book of John, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. When Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, wilt thou be made whole? Now that's strange to ask a sick man, but I believe I've been with folks that are sick that wouldn't obey God if they'd have got healed if they thought they'd had to shout because they were. I've seen a few chronic ailers in my time that wouldn't be healed because they were chronic. Wilt thou be made whole? George, will you now? Will you take another circle if God will heal you? All right, you have to get it then. Not everybody. Somebody said, ain't no use asking silly questions. Why should you ask a sick man, wilt thou be made whole? You know he'd be whole if he could be, would you? Lord, heal my old sore throat. And said, now, you go out on a street corner down yonder, and you fall to Oklahoma, and you strike up the key of G, Brother George, and you look up the street and say, would you listen, good people, now to what I've got to say? We've been a-living in a mighty evil day, and it seems that men won't hear the word of the Lord. Start a camp meeting by yourself. Yeah. Wilt thou be made whole? What'll you do with it if you get it? I thought Oral ought to told that woman down in Oklahoma that said she got healed, that said now I can dance. I thought he ought to told her, no, don't you go back to the dance hall. You do all your dancing here in the church. Amen. But he didn't. I'm from there. Yeah. Wilt thou be made whole? The important man answered, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool. While I'm coming, another step it down before me. There's always somebody in front of you, ain't there? Had the Holy Ghost a long time, but it wasn't for them. Yeah, some folks have been saved a long time. We weren't for them in front of them. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Glory to be God. Hallelujah. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath, and he broke another one. We had a meeting with Brother Bridges from Georgia a while back, and I got up and broke every rule in Haley's handbook that Sunday morning. unbeknownst to me.
All right.
I didn't know I broke every rule in Haley's handbook that morning. But I know I did because Brother Bridges told me I did. Broke every rule in it. We need a few folks that'll break a few rules. Run around here with his bed on his shoulder on a Sabbath day. All right, to go get your donkey. All right, to go get your mule, your horse, your cow. Get it out of the ditch. Take food to it. If you have to make service for it, deacons will understand. The pastor forgive you. Church will clap hands the next service because you wasn't there, because you're after your stock. But don't you carry your bed around here on a Sabbath and say Jesus Christ healed you. Said any other day, but not the Sabbath. This is a holy day. Then they asked him, what man is he that said they take up thy bed and walk? He that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, said to him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more. That's the worst thing come on you. Warnings is what's on my mind. What could be any worse in being sick for 38 years? 38 and 38 is, how much is that? 76. And he's a grown man when Jesus found him. Well, what could be any worse than 38 years of sickness? 38 years more of it? No, that'd be the same. That'd make him 76. Something worse than that could happen to him. Don't sin anymore, lest the worst thing come on you. Warning. I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm going to wind up as soon as I can. And I debate about whether to tell you this or not, but I'm going to tell it to you. And I'm glad to be with you. And I know this is not great. I knew that when it come. But look, years ago, there's a young man in Oklahoma. Went to the fourth grade. They pulled him out to pick cotton, snap bowls down there. There's poor people. As soon as that boy is 14 years old, he's riding a motorcycle and giving every dime he made to mom and daddy to help them live. He growed up and married a woman over yonder at Middleburg, Oklahoma. The old enemy said to him, you need to take a little shot once in a while to the boy so he can be one of them. He did. Held money out each week from his little check and supported his family. Put clothes on his family. They never went hungry. But he managed to get drunk and carouse around. Save a little money out of his paycheck and hide it from his wife and drink. A few years went by. He became a pretty heavy drinker. One night on a dark, dark night, he got up and walked through his house. Insane, throwing things against the wall and throwing things off the table. His wife following him, picking up after him. Couldn't talk to him. He was out of his mind. The law was called that night, and they took that man to the insane asylum in Oklahoma. Checked him in. They tapped his spine, a bad venereal disease. It had went immediately to his brain and never lost a brain cell, but it went immediately. One of the best things could happen to a man that gets that is to have this reaction. So that he can be cured and not lose a brain cell. That slow working kind is the kind you find out you got later, but you've already lost some brain capacity and they can heal you of it, but you can't never heal them brain cells. 6 months that man stayed in there. He couldn't be with his family. He had to complete an entire recovery. They would lay him down and put that needle in his spine and say, if you move very much, and it'll paralyze you for the rest of your life. If we don't put this in here right, we'll paralyze you. And I talked to that man one day, and he said, they gave me that shot one day, and every bone in my body shook. He said, I know it was paralyzed, but it wasn't. During that time, his family suffered. One day, his wife felt bad. A woman is a virtuous woman, only man she'd ever had in her life. She went to get checked, and no money. Said, you've got that bad venereal disease. She had to go where the harlots went every week to get a free shot. So some weeks she couldn't go, and they said, we're going to send the law out after you if you don't get in here. Like she was a bad woman. That man finally got out of that insane asylum. His little boy, 13 years old, put two bricks under Model A seat and go every week with that woman to see her man. While he was in the insane asylum, his oldest boy took down with sugar diabetes and rushed to the hospital. And he is in bad shape. Christmas come and they waited till 1:30 and 2 in the morning for anybody to bring anything. Somebody says, you're going to bring some finally drunk woman come and brought a little dab of stuff for their Christmas. When that man got out of there, he never drank no more. He never done it again. He saved $108
His wife went to see the boy, got back in the hospital again. Somebody stole that off of him. Christmas was bleak that year. That man is gone to another world. He is in another world. He's gone. That man was my father. I warn you. You feel fool with that sin. You mess with that thing. And it'll bite you after a while. It'll bite you bad. It'll bite you bad. It bit our home. It bit our home. I stood in that old back door and sung that old song. Trouble in mind, I'm blue. But I'll not be blue always. The sun's going to shine in my back door someday. A sinner. I changed the words to it and I sing it. I sing the sun is shining day and night. But listen, I just wanted to warn you some way or another. I felt like tonight I ought to talk to y'all about the word warning. Now, I hesitated because I knew you had heard so many good warnings from this pulpit and so much good preaching. But you know, regardless of all you warn people, they just keep on fooling around. They just keep on fooling around. Roy was my father. Complete recovery, not the loss of a brain cell. The greatest man I ever knew. The hardest worker I ever met. For 20 years, 25 after that, he worked hard. He managed. He was out of debt. He owed no man. My mother's laying now, a crippled woman in New Mexico, in an old folks home where my sis lives. Moved right there a while back. But listen, life's come and life's go. But I warn you, your life will be better if you put God first. If you put God first, it'll be better for you. What have you been thinking about doing? Well, if you don't mind, sir, I will advise you not to do that. Lady, if you don't mind, I will advise you not to do that. Take a little warning. Don't let old Satan hold your hand. Amen. I held a preacher meeting. I treat him in a week's time. And he said a week's long enough for anybody to preach a meeting, Preacher Moore. You know, I understood what he said. And you know, just as dense as I am, I know he's trying to close me out, child of God. As dense as I am. You know, if he hadn't been a meeting, George, at their used car dealer's wife, every day or two out there in the country, he wouldn't have told me that. But the Lord knew he'd leave his good wife and run off with that woman, and she'd leave her four children with her husband. And God knew that they'd go down there in Texas and write back, and Mama would say, Mama wants to meet you in heaven. Well, she'll have to go to hillbilly heaven or hog heaven, or I never heard so many heavens. Lord, have mercy, fella. If a fella ever sung Amazing Grace and he's got any kind of talent at all, ever been on a radio program or a TV program or wrote a book or been introduced to anybody anywhere, if he's got any kind of talent, don't make a difference how drunk he gets on Saturday night, if he'll come Sunday and sing Amazing Grace, he's gone to heaven when he leaves. I don't mean he's gone to heaven when he leaves. Sang every Christian song he ever heard, never sang no other kind, but Sonny got to be saved to go to heaven. Born again. I preached to that preacher. I was struggling for his precious wife. I knew that she was going through the fire. He left her and had run off and married, left that woman. There's not a reason in the world for him to leave that woman. Not a one. I don't know why, but today it seemed the Lord dealt with me. Talk to these folks about warning. Will we face God after a while as a nation and God have to tell us, America, I told you. I warned you. I'm not going to get into specifics. I'm not going to go down a clothesline or nothing else. But I'm just talking to you about warnings. I'd be careful how I messed around. 6 months in an insane asylum was a pitiful deal for us. As I put my brother's driver's license in my hip pocket and put them two bricks under that Model A seat and drove yonder that insane asylum and looked my father in the face. He couldn't talk and I couldn't either. It was sad, folks. It's sadder than a black night. I lived a nightmare for years. I could see my daddy walking at night to the house, throwing that stuff against them walls. I could see him. I could hear him. But that's over. But I'm warning you. You mess around out there. You don't. Listen, as a Christian, you got to be careful. Catch a hepatitis anywhere nearly now. Our country is so full of evil and the devil and sin. You'll liable to catch anything and you living for God. But if you don't live for God and you're not saved, children, you are taking a chance. I warn you. I'm a warning you. What on earth under heaven would cause us to have diseases that we have no cure for? Nothing but judgment. Nothing but judgment. I ain't talking about cancer right now. We have an incurable disease amongst our people. They can't even get well of it. And it all started from that old hippie mess, son. Crawling out from one of them culverts with them old dogs, them old guitars, and that old shaggy hair, and that old girl around that boy. I'm so ashamed of the Geographic I could write them about it. So ashamed of leading publications in America I could write them about it. Well, they are boldly put in a man and woman's picture in your Geographic. And, well, there's an old boy and his wife that took a float trip down one of the wildest rivers in the Amazon territory and survived it. And you think, there they are. But you come to find out at the end of the article, they weren't married. They just took a 6 weeks trip down through there with their little pup tent. It's happening to us.
Yes.
May I warn you tonight that God ain't going to put up with that. I warn you, God don't like that. God's not going to put up with that. I was 47,000 feet high in an airplane a while back. And I read in a book where that a fellow was going to marry his girlfriend. And I said, that's all right. He's going to marry his girlfriend. Going to have a marriage. And their six-year-old son was going to be the ring bearer. You can be a doctor, I beg your pardon, sir. You can be a lawyer, I beg your pardon, sir. You can be a judge, I beg your pardon. I do know what I'm saying. And live with your girlfriend in wide open adultery and harlotry, uncleanness, and folks hold you high. I warn you. I warn us. I warn our country. God don't like that. We had a judge in our country. If there's any judge here, this, challenge it. I don't care. I know what I'm saying. Had a judge in our country, looked like a woman, acted like a woman, long hair like a woman, ought to have. And he got in court, and there's a woman come before him, and he talked to her about her, to her case to her. She cried, said, don't have nowhere to stay tonight. Well, we'll put you up for the night, and you'll be back in court tomorrow. So he took her home with him. Bad news got out on him. This happened. And said, well, what you took that woman home? So he just excused himself from the case. Great mannerly man, knew the law, excused himself. And then they asked him, well, what was the deal? Nothing. He said, me and my girlfriend slept in our room and she slept on the divan in our apartment. Nothing unclean or unrighteous went on.
Yeah.
Well, they said, all right then. Take that now. That fixes it. It didn't fix it with me. When he said he and his girlfriend slept in their room, the judge, I'm talking about a judge, he wasn't fired. He disqualified himself because of the accusation about him and that woman. Nobody ever dared bring an accusation against him and his girlfriend. I went to a relative's house a while back and a little boy come in about the size of that precious. I'm his favorite preacher, ain't I, son? I tell you, I've got one backer here. I'm for his dancing and his running. Don't say nothing about it to me. I'm for it. I went in and that little fellow met and said, where's your mama? Said, she's still in bed asleep. Asleep? Yes, she sleep back there. Her and who? I know she didn't have no husband. What's she doing living in this old woman's house? Well, she's sleeping with a former jailbird back there. I don't hold jailbird against folks. They just need to get saved. But he still wasn't saved. Sleeping back there in the bed with him and her child by another man here that had left her long before and her little baby by him. And it just, I just pretty near got to aggravated. Now, if I'd come by your house and somebody sold clear out in the front yard and it was a situation like that and you was a cleaning house, I'd just say, let me help you up, son, and go on your way. God bless you, man! You probably wouldn't hear much out of me if George, if she'd have thrown him out of there. And I ain't mean. But enough of the foolishness in America, justifying college students taking up occupancy, male and female together on college campuses and offering them credits for it if they'd report on the results of it. May God have mercy. We must receive warnings that that won't do, and God don't like it. Warn. But if you tighten up very tight and you warn folks very much, they just feel like you're completely out of order. I had a woman in my church. Her husband died. And she had a dream. She met a feller. And she met him. He's crooked. She dreamed she married him. She thought it was from the Lord. She is as bad off as that woman was from the World Church out of California that come to my church in Norman and said to old brother so-and-so, "Papa, thus saith the Lord, I shall take thee unto California, and thou shalt regain thy health, and thou shalt be well." Brother Moore on the other side of dad said, "Thus saith the Lord." Brother Moore, you're bold as a bear. I ain't going to say in the honky tonk get nobody to vote in a church election either. Glory to God. I ain't going to write the governor, ask him what we ought to do down here in the house of God either. And I won't need nobody to strike up a band or a guitar to try to sing folks into submission. If I'm the pastor, I'm in charge, and we're going to hear from him. I said, "Thus saith the Lord, brother. If you go with her to California, you will die miles from your people, miles from your friends. There will be no one around that you know." Did do her too. She took him, died away under in Arizona, with no pastor that had hauled him for hundreds and hundreds of miles to church and back to hold his hand and pray for him. Warning, I warn you. It's a strange thing to me. Folk can start to drink booze. Had an old granddad drink it till he's 95. Well, hallelujah. They seem to think that means they live till they're 95. I warn you, you better keep as clean as you can. Live as good as you can. Walk with God, children. I speak as a middle-aged man now. My youth is come and gone. I've spent it on the road running and preaching, sleeping on a park bench and thumbing my way down the road when I run out of gas stamps. The other day at 62 years of age, Russell Stewart, the man I preached with, went on to another world. He's already gone. You're on your way. I warn you tonight, sin no more. Amen. It ain't no better. Don't think it is. Don't think that rot gut's any better just because they put it in a colored bottle. Don't you think that stuff, somebody said, "We got some 9 years old." Great God, have mercy. If it's 9 years old, throw it out of the cellar. I don't care if it's canned beans. I don't care if the best can in the whole world can it. Throw it out if it's 9 years old. Don't try to get me to eat it, drink it. I warn you. I'm warning you. That little sip out of that bottle leads to another. Leads to another. And after a while you're a blurry-eyed drunk that can't find your way home. I warn you. I don't want to make you feel bad. Make you think I think all of you is bad people. I don't. I'm just warning, that's all. We got signs all over the oil field in Oklahoma warning people. I stepped up to a steel breaking machine and I wanted a piece of steel, about half inch steel broke off. I was welding for American Body and Trailer then. And I said, "Ed, I want the steel broke off. I've got it laying where I want it and I want that much broke off of it." And he run the breaker. I handled it and said, "Moore, you're not ready to break that steel." I said, "What's the matter?" I was glad he was looking. I didn't understand. Some folks is honestly messed up. They don't understand. Nobody's told them. Nobody's warned them. Behind that big blade were cylinders about that big, built into the back of the blade. In each cylinder, hydraulically operated, was a big plunger, a big flat thing like a hydraulic jack, and it come out and hit the steel just before the cutting blade did to be sure and hold it where you had it while it cut it off. I hadn't had any experience. Had my fingers under them cylinders. But a good man was watching. And a good man understood that that wouldn't do. He knew the end of that folly there. He knew that mistake would be a boy with no fingers he could use. Pull your hands back, LD. Way back on that steel. Now watch. Hold them right where you got them now. Watch it. I watched, and out of each one of those things, just before that big, oh, it would have just ruined me. I was standing outside the shop one day. I'd run a lathe. I used to run a lathe in an oil field shop. And we'd take the pipe out, 4-inch pipe, and it had a big pulley out there, and we'd had a big hook. We hooked them in the middle, and we'd just give it a shove, and it'd completely turn completely around. The other end had come around. We'd grab it, take it back into the lathe. My daddy was sitting over here watching. I throwed that around, daydreaming, standing there. I heard my daddy scream. I looked up in time. That solid steel weighed hundreds of pounds, traveling around. If it just bumped your head, you had it. Your brain, your mind, your body. I was glad for the old man in overalls that was doing nothing but observing. And he said, "Hold it, son, watch it." That's what preachers are for sometimes. They're not to say you're bad. They're not to say you're mean and not to be mean to you. But I warn you tonight. Now, some reason the Lord dealt with me today. Somebody here, you fix and take a step, it won't do you no good. Won't bring nothing but heartache. Won't bring nothing. I never will forget that. They asked me to smoke. I gagged, I coughed, I got dizzy headed. I thought I'd try dipping. Granny could take a peach tree limb and soak it in garret till it's that big around. And the way she done that, it just made it look like peppermint candy. I tried it. Yeah. The first reaction to it was a God-given reaction. That every young boy or girl just about goes through when they try to make this system adjust to things that ain't made for them to use. You can gradually overcome it. You can gradually overcome it until you build up a little resistance against it. Then it gets to be such a habit. You know yourself, you'll admit it, you got the worst taste in your mouth you ever had. And you know that. Got such a terrible cold, it took a bushel of coal. No, you didn't. 3 weeks after my daddy quit, after 40 years of smoking, he never coughed like that no more. Warning, just a little warning. Don't let Satan hold your hand. You'll be lost in sin forever. You'll never reach the promised land. How about it? I preached a little meeting a while back, and there's 9 come to altar. Been quite a while ago to get deliverance from tobacco. I used to have the habits of bad boys. I'd throw away the Lucky Strikes and be back on the camels in 2 hours. I'd swear off the camels and be back on the Bull Durham in 2 hours. I'm going to tell you, I was one of them. I'm not making fun, but I'm warning you. It'll be better for you. If you won't do it, you'll live happy if you'll consecrate your life and ask God. As we stand, how many needs help tonight? Will you come? How many wants help tonight? Did I touch you with the warning just a little about something I don't know anything about? If I did, be as honest with me as I have you and come down here and let's pray about these things. Don't feel bad about coming. This is not the judgment. This is where mercy reaches people. And God wants to help people and bless people. This is where mercy is manifested. And that's what we're here for. Will you come, please?